This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hi, we're from Fitzroy Primary School and you're listening to Community Radio on 3CR.
I'm Philippe Cousteau from Earth Echo International and you're listening to Out of the Blue 855 AM 3CR's Marine and Ocean News Program.
Followed by oyster liqueur. Good morning and welcome to Out of the Blue on Sunday, 10th of August, 2025. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial, or you can have a listen from our website, www.3cr.org.au/radioblue, from where you can stream our broadcast, and you will also find a number of previously aired episodes that have been uploaded as podcasts. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Out of the Blue Radio. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that 3CR is broadcasting from and pay our respects to their elders past and present and also to future generations. My name's Andrew Christie from Melbourne Polytechnic and Marine Care Point Cook, and today's weather looks amazing in Melbourne. We're headed for a sunny top of 18 degrees after a chilly, frosty morning. We'll have light winds today, east-northeasterlies at about 4 kilometres an hour. But as always, please take care if you're getting into our bay or waterways in the state of Victoria or wherever you may be listening. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Alexandra Beer, who goes by Zandy, who's a member of Marine Care Point Cook, amongst other things. Zandy, how are you going today?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me in.
No worries at all. We'll be talking to Zandy about a few issues, but the main one being her recent trip to Whyalla to check out the amazing cuttlefish aggregations that have occurred there. So we'll be back after this brief announcement.
Questions, questions, questions flooding into the mind of the concerned young person today.
It's nearly Science Week again, so you better be getting your teams ready for the annual Lost in Science Trivia for 2025.
Yes, Monday the 11th of August, starting at 6 at the Birmingham Hotel in Fitzroy, Melbourne.
All the details on the 3CR website or on the Lost in Science Facebook page.
And if you want to register for a table, email us at lostinsci@gmail.com.
You're listening to Out of the Blue, 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial. So, Zan, can you give our listeners a bit of an idea of who you are and your life story in a nutshell, if you like?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. So I am a member of Marine Care Point Cook. And, yeah, I guess the group of us, we're pretty avid snorkelers over the summer months down in Melbourne.
Yep.
But the rest of the time I work at a timber yard in Clifton Hill, driving a truck and, yeah, helping out customers. So, yeah, it's a bit different what I get up to on the weekends.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And what was it that sort of drew you towards Point Cook Marine Sanctuary in the first place?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've always been pretty keen snorkeler, like when I've been away, but mostly I would say tropical waters. So I didn't realise that, you know, you could get in the water in the bay. And then, yeah, during those, you know, recent few years where we were a bit stuck at home, I was having a look around and I found that, yeah, it turns out you can go snorkeling. Yeah, down at, you know, initially I thought Williamstown. But then, yeah, when I was having a look on, you know, the Scuba Doctor online, I saw I could go just locally at Point Cook, which is, you know, it's only 10 minutes from where I live. So I thought, why not give it a go?
Very convenient, absolutely. Yeah. Do you remember what it was that you first jumped in the water at Point Cook?
Oh, I don't actually. But, yeah, it was probably, I reckon it would have been in like a November sort of time of year. So it was still pretty cold.
Yep.
And it was with a couple of members of the social snorkel group that we've got down at Point Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I got onto them online through the Facebook page. Yeah. And yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. I just remember getting in the water and just couldn't get over the colours, you know, the oranges and the greens and the blues, you know, I just wasn't expecting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to see all the fiddler rays in the water and, you know, it's just incredible down there. You know, we're really lucky to have such an untouched part of the coastline so close to the city. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And have you spent much time in the water at Williamstown as well, Jawbone Marine Sanctuary and that sort of area?
Yeah, a little bit at Jawbone. But to be honest, there's a few too many people in the water there.
Yeah.
True. So, but yeah, that's the plan. We're planning on this summer, we're definitely going to branch out a little bit and, yeah, try and get in at Jawbone and, yeah, probably around the other side of the bay as well, go down to Flinders and Beau Morris there too,
oh,
I think.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very, very good snorkeling out that part of the world as well.
Mm.
All right. So what we're here for today is to chat about this incredible aggregation of cuttlefish that occurs every year out at Whyalla. Can you give us give our listeners a bit of a feel for how this trip came about, what the planning for it was, why you decided to go along and how it all unfolded?
Yeah. So with one of our good friends, Alicia Colley, we decided, you know, how fantastic it would be to go away for a weekend and, yeah, just focus on the snorkeling. And we looked around and we thought, well, you know, Whyalla, to see the cuttlefish, like that's a sort of a bucket list snorkel, once in a lifetime potentially trip. So we thought, well, why not do it together? And we put it to the group and everyone was pretty keen. So we thought, all right, well, we'll, you know, we'll get in there and we'll organise it. And we did. And, yeah, you know, probably not unexpectedly, it ended up just being the two of us because it is quite cold.
Yes.
In the water in the middle of July. But we were still absolutely stoked to be able to go. So, yeah, we went. It was the last weekend in July, so just 2 weeks ago now.
Yep.
And I was telling you earlier that I did get a phone call about 3 days before we were leaving on the Friday to tell me that our snorkeling trip was cancelled and that the wind was blowing in the wrong direction, which we hadn't really thought about. So luckily we were able to rejig things and head up a bit earlier on the Friday so that we could still get in the water, and well worth it. Well worth the early flight, well worth the 4-hour drive, and yeah, to get up to Whyalla at about, got up there about 1:30 and we were in the water at 2:00 and oh, it was unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. And off air before we were chatting a bit about the weather you faced there, there'd been quite a bit of rainfall.
Yeah, so that was actually the first decent rain they'd had in about 18 months. We managed to hit that. That was perfect timing. So they had an inch of rain, in Red Hill, which was about halfway between Adelaide and Whyalla. So yeah, we drove the whole way up through the rain. And then we got there and the rain had stopped and we thought, fantastic, got changed. And would you believe, as our like brilliant tour guide was giving us a bit of a rundown on what we'd see, it just started bucketing down, like
wow,
really heavy, probably rained for about 10 minutes. And that was it. Didn't rain again. We got in the water. It was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it was, I'm going to say meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you highlighted there before, like that region, like basically that state, South Australia, has been absolutely walloped by this marine heat wave and the weather. Like you said, hardly any rain to speak of that has really fostered this massive problem with the algae bloom that we're seeing. Was there any hint of that when you're in the water there?
Yeah, a lot of talk about it. Obviously, no, we didn't see anything in the water. I think there is, they're testing all the time, and there is really low levels of the algae at Whyalla, but
right.
Yeah, it's only, they're talking like tens of kilometres away, so I don't know if it's, about 50 k's away, they're seeing real impacts. So
right.
They're very concerned, the locals at Whyalla, about the cuttlefish population.
Yep.
Because you've got, over the 3 month breeding season, there's about 200,000 cuttlefish come to just in like an 8 kilometre stretch of rocky reef.
Wow.
So they're really vulnerable.
Gee whiz. Yeah. 200,000, I reckon.
Yeah, roughly. God. Yeah. Now that the numbers have bounced back since they stopped the fishing. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unreal. So when you say, like, they've had an inch of rain, but the obviously one of the first things to go there is that your visibility can get compromised really badly.
Hmm.
Underwater topography like in that area? What sort of system are you looking at there?
Yeah, so it's rocky reef. So it'd be like a sedimentary rock. And the cuttlefish love it because it gets hollowed out underneath. So when they're laying their eggs, they stick them up underneath the rocks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty barren. Like there's not a lot of seagrass or anything around. I think anything that's there at the beginning of the season when they first come in is very quickly gone in the first couple of weeks. And then, there's basically no feed to speak of after that. And so the cuttlefish are there and they'll hang out there. They won't eat for the whole time that they're breeding, which is why they do lose condition towards the end of the season.
Right,
yeah.
Right, okay. So it's nice to hear that the visibility wasn't compromised too
Not
much
at
by
all.
The heavy rainfall. That's amazing. That.
Yeah.
Some of these areas you find they're almost like a great big undergravel filtration system. You get the rain and it still can maintain its visibility. It's really, really amazing. So tell us what it's like. Paint the picture for us. What happens when you get in the water? How does it all work with the cuttlefish?
Yeah, so they've got a great setup there. They've got, a few tents that you can get changed in. You rock up, they size you up. You get into your... So I was wearing I had a 7mm wetsuit on. I had a heated vest, which I can't recommend highly enough.
Yeah.
very, very good. And another vest with a hood as well. So, pretty...
Wow.
Pretty rugged up, I would say.
Gee,
boots and gloves.
How many mils of... for our listeners, how many mils of wetsuit material are we talking about?
I reckon we would be pushing close to 10.
Wow.
Like once you had all those layers on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Did you find it restricted your movement much? Or?
My movement was fairly restricted anyway with the cold.
Yes.
So I didn't... it was good. I'd recommend it.
Yeah,
right. You definitely need the layers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get all basically all rugged up, and then quick rundown as to what we might see, a few mating behaviours that we might expect to see in the water, and then they've got a great chain that runs all the way from the shore all the way, maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 metres into the water, and you can use that to help you get in. So,
right.
Yeah, it's really, really accessible. There's a safe snorkeling area. It is literally just off the beach. Four buoys, big square, and, you can just get straight into there. There's plenty of cuttlefish. I think sometimes, we were lucky because of the poor conditions, weather-wise, the visibility was brilliant. There was only 5 of us in the snorkeling group, so there wasn't too many people scaring the cuttlefish away. But they did say in the peak of the season, when there might be a few dozen people in the water, that you will find the cuttlefish tend to drift out of that snorkeling zone and a little bit further away. But I mean, there's nothing stopping you from following them. That's where the boats aren't going to be. It's perfectly safe and it's really, really well set up. There's a nice open fire for you when you get back out of the water.
Oh, that's handy.
to warm up with. And there's you can get a toastie and a coffee. For a snorkeling spot, it's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And how deep does it go? What's the maximum depth of that area?
So I reckon the water would have been probably 7 or 8 metres deep at some points. Yep. But most of the cuttlefish, they reckon, are between about 4 and 6 metres.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right,
so they're
right.
quite shallow. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can get right above them and they don't seem particularly bothered, you know. Yeah,
if you're
there looking at them.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And are there any sort of rules and regs around how you can interact with the cuttlefish, like in terms of duck diving and all that sort of stuff?
No, there doesn't seem to be, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do the cuttlefish get fairly inquisitive and come and check you out or anything like that, or are they very preoccupied with what they're doing?
Yeah, my understanding is they're pretty keen on what they're there for.
Yes.
But, I mean, looking at some of the photography that comes out, of the aggregation, I'd reckon that they do, yeah, show it up for the cameras a little bit. As we were jumping out, there was a bloke coming in with a very impressive looking professional camera setup.
Wow.
So I'm thinking that they do come and interact a little bit.
Yeah,
if you can get down. I did attempt to do a bit of a dive, but with my 10 mil of
yeah, God, I'm shuddering to think how many weights you need to even
didn't get very far.
God, you'd bounce straight out of the water, wouldn't you, if you're trying to go down.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Oh, that's unreal. I've had very little. I was so keen to get you on the air today, Zandy, because I've had hardly any experience with cuttlefish. There's only one encounter that I can really speak of, and that was actually at Point Cook Marine Sanctuary. That was a good size individual. I reckon probably 40 centimetres long mantle length. So it was a good size little cuttlefish, and it was one of those things that I saw it and then straight away duck dived down, got a heap of footage, video and stills and whatnot. It was going through all these beautiful colour changes and that funny textural change I have where all the little appendages almost seem to come out. I was doing all that sort of thing and just really amazing to look at. And I thought, well, I've been down here a few minutes looking at this one now. I better give it some respite. And I moved away and was really surprised when I went to look at some snapper and then turned around and lo and behold, it had followed me. It was a very curious little creature. And the only other time I've had an encounter was a few years ago when I was doing some work with Undaria, the Japanese kelp, the wakami, taking some photos of that. And it wasn't until I got home, downloaded the footage from the camera, put it onto the laptop and had a look. And I zoomed in. I thought, what's that on the right side of the Undaria? And sure enough, it was a cuttlefish. It was actually sitting there looking straight at the camera basically and waving, and I had no idea it was there to begin with. So of course it was the exact same colour as the Undaria. It just morphed to create that illusion. So yeah, they are just amazing creatures. So it's definitely one you'd recommend putting on the bucket list though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Like what you said there with how they like change colours, and they're just so vibrant. Beautiful bright blues and browns and yellows, like it's just incredible watching them.
Yeah.
When they're doing, like they're in there and they, you know, in their natural environment, and they've got their sort of, you know, their breeding behavior, they're really showing off. Like the blokes, you know, they outnumber the girls 7 to 1.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of competition down there, so they're, you know, they're putting everything they can into, you know, capturing a mate basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. They've got about, you know, from what they were telling us, there's sort of 4 behaviours that you're likely to see there.
Right.
Yeah. So one of them is that what they call peacocking.
Yep.
So that would be when you get, and from the ones we saw, they were the pretty big males. So, you know, they're about 60 centimetres, but when they stretch right out, they're about a metre.
Wow.
Long. So they're pretty big, and you'll get, you know, one side and one the other side, and they're basically looking right at each other and showing off and stretching out as much as they can to try and look bigger than the other one.
Yeah.
And whoever's bigger wins. I'm not sure who who referees, but
yeah, right.
Yeah. So you get that behavior, and then you get what they call stealthing, which is apparently the most successful breeding behavior. So, you know, for every large male, there's quite a number of much smaller ones. Probably about the size of, I'm going to say, a Sharon football.
Wow.
And those guys obviously have got no chance against these big ones. So what they do is they mimic the female colouring. So the females are a little bit more brown, a little bit less vibrant. They come in and, you know, the male's sitting over the top of the female protecting her. they sidle up to him and say, how about, you know, room for one more? Can I sneak in here? And, you know, that big male's going, oh, how good's this? I'm keen on that. Yeah, go for it. And what they'll do is they'll come in right underneath. They'll mate with the female underneath that big male, and most of the time that big male doesn't even notice.
Unsuspecting.
Completely unsuspecting.
Hence the stealthing tag.
Yeah, that's right. So that's another big one. And of course, like, yeah, the mating itself is pretty interesting because it's, yeah, basically the tentacles or the arms, I guess. They're just clasping each other's heads. Like you can imagine like two hands clasping together.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fascinating in itself just to see that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome stuff, Zan. Thank you very much for filling our listeners in on that. What we might do is break it up a bit. We'll go to a song. This is Faith No More with We Care A Lot. And I guess we'll talk to Zandy a bit after the song on some of the fears that the local operators hold for the cuttlefish population, because this algae bloom in South Australia is really going on its merry way, and it's not really showing many signs of abating, sadly. So, it's quite an appropriate song for the moment. So, We Care A Lot by Faith No More.
Living with arthritis can bring tough questions. How do I manage the pain? What treatments work? Will it ever get better? It can feel overwhelming. That's why the Arthritis Info Line is here to help. It's a toll-free service with trained staff who understand arthritis and can provide answers, support and resources. If you're living with arthritis or caring for someone who is, call 1-800-011-041 or visit arthritisaustralia.com.au/infoline. You don't have to face it alone.
A 3CR supporter.
You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM. So, Zan, just before the song there, can you give it, I was sort of alluding to the fact that this terrible algae blooms going on in South Australia. What's the thought process at the moment as far as the operators go? How are they feeling about it all?
Well, as you can imagine, they're very concerned. The thought process is, even if the Karenia doesn't make it to Whyalla itself, they're worried about the babies when they're born in 2 or 3 months' time going through that algal bloom and being essentially wiped out.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I was just saying to you before, they reckon the females, they're there for a couple of weeks over that three-month period. You know, they're coming and going all the time. They're laying about sort of 30 eggs a day. And, those eggs, I think it takes about 1 to 2 months until they hatch.
Right.
Yeah. The cuttlefish itself only has a life cycle of about 18 months to 2 years, I think. So you're only getting, a very short period of time for them to be able to breed up those numbers. So every year is important, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. So 18 months to 2 years, is that total lifespan that we're talking about?
Yeah, total lifespan. Yeah, so I'm guessing the really big ones are probably coming back for their second breeding season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geez, that seems to be a pretty rapid growth rate. Isn't it? Yeah, some of those ones, I wonder. Yeah, that's really interesting. Do they think there's any chance that some of the bigger breeders might hang around for a bit longer than the 2 years?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, that'd be something interesting to look into.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know. Getting that exact, maximum longevity is obviously a tricky thing to be able to do.
Mm.
I'm just trying to think what else we want to cover. We've got about a minute left before we come to the end of another episode of Out of the Blue. Anything else about the cuttlefish that stands out that you wanted to get across the airwaves?
I think the most impressive thing is just the numbers, like the sheer numbers.
Yeah.
If you go up to Whyalla and jump in the water, you will see dozens of cuttlefish. It's well worth doing. It's an incredible experience. Even if you don't want to jump in the water, you can get in a glass bottom boat or even a glass bottom kayak they've got up there, and you can see this amazing aggregation. I couldn't recommend it highly enough, Andrew.
That's unreal. No, it sold me. That's for absolute. That's for certain. One location you mentioned before too, Zan, was Jawbone. You mentioned Williamstown Jawbone Marine Sanctuary. Coming up on Wednesday, 27th of August, there is a talk being delivered by the Snorkel Sisters, who are petitioning to try and get Jawbone Marine Sanctuary expanded to include a spot called the Crystals, and they've been getting some airtime on ABC. So that one might be well worth checking out for those of you that care to do that. Check it out on Eventbrite and also the Jawbone Marine Sanctuary Care Group webpage. Alrighty, thanks very much for coming into the studio today, Zandy.
Thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
No worries at all. And stay tuned for Out of the Pan with Sally.
Don't know. four, three, two, one.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio.